You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, happy Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, September 26th, episode 3784, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
That's right. We are back for another Friday, and we have an old friend returning to the show. Michael Richardson's going to get us caught up on his training adventures. We haven't talked to him in like 13 years, so we're looking forward to chatting with him. Also, we're going to be talking about some of the most expensive horses of different kinds that have sold over the years, and we have some really bad ads coming up. In our post show, Auditor Chelsea's going to join us and talk about her unusual horse trailer that she bought. I guess you could call it that. I mean, Hall's a horse. We're going to find out. It's very unusual. We're going to talk about that. Charlotte Yorst, do you remember we had her on? She's the dressage rider, the Grand Prix dressage rider that did all the clones. She had cloned two of her different horses, her Grand Prix horses, and she has like five clones now. We had her on earlier this year, actually. And then we had the company that did the cloning on after that to talk about it, Viagen.
Yeah.
Does that all ring a bell?
Absolutely. I mean, so she has like a Grand Prix. I think her horse's stallion's name is Zeppelin. And then she cloned him. And I remember her talking about it. And she was like, yeah, they try three times. And she got three.
Right.
So exactly. She kept them all. Like, sure, give them all to me. So I follow her on Facebook, and watching her ride is,
well, she's joy. I think she's doing something that may not have been done before. It's Dressage at Devon is coming up. And we've talked about Dressage at Devon. It's one of the oldest horse shows in the country. And it's the 50th anniversary of Dressage at Devon. And she's competing with her Grand Prix, Zeppelin Langholt. And Zeppelin Langholt's clone, who's 3 years old, is also competing at the same show. She's riding Stairway to Heaven as well. So this might be the first time, I think, that somebody is competing both the donor and the clone at the same show. Obviously not in the same class, because Zeppelin is like a Grand Prix horse. And the youngster is competing in one of the youngster's classes, the three-year-old classes. So that's, I don't know how I feel. This is just weird. I don't know that I've ever thought I'd see this.
It is unique, and she's a pioneer. And you know what? Work hard, play hard. Come on.
She had two with Zeppelin and three with Nintendo Switch.
Nintendo's, yeah, that's it.
That's right. So good luck to her this weekend. It's going to be interesting, and that'll be the story that everybody's covering. You know, mainstream media will pick that story up, and, you know, more power to them, because we need all the help we can get in mainstream media. So good luck to Charlotte. And now it's time for Daily Whinnies. Happy birthday to three of our auditors, Courtney Trusvig-Owens, Christina Lynn, and Nicole Marie. Happy birthday. We hope you have a great weekend, everybody. Because apparently you don't celebrate birthdays for one day anymore. It's become a week and a month with some of my friends who have like birthday months.
Ooh, does that mean my birthday month starts next month? Yeah, five days.
What was your birthday again?
October 19th.
So you get a whole month now, apparently.
So happy birthday to me! Hi, Butters. Okay, so I would like to... Okay, let me just start by saying, you guys, I've been a bit of a disaster, like uninspired, kind of down. It's been really hot, and I've had this whole turnpike thing hanging over my head, and I've decided that Monday.
What, you were down because you thought you might lose your farm?
Yeah. And I mean, the fight continues. So yesterday I went to a protest and I took Lucas where he finally made the news, right?
Saw
so
the picture.
We watched all of the news and he was like, there I am. You know, like that's his whole thing. But again, I feel like I'm teaching him how to support your community, even though the turnpike is going to go a mile west of us and not take my farm. I still want to continue in the fight, but I will be completely honest. The heart-crushing pressure is off, right? So I've decided that I'm going to go this weekend to the 21 Pilots concert in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm going to have a great time. And Monday is a new day.
Eat yourself full of chocolate all weekend.
I'm not even that big of a chocolate
fan. Oh, there's
fan.
Plenty of it, though. You got to eat chocolate.
I don't care. I'm just going to eat myself silly.
You can't go to Hershey and not eat chocolate.
I know. You have to. But my point is I'm going to come back Monday with a new attitude, and I'm going to come back happier on Monday. But I've got to give my daily whinny to all of my neighbors who also have been in this fight, and those of us who are still, like, this whole turnpike issue started, and they were going to put it a mile east of us. And those people fought so hard and got it moved west. They got it stopped. And then it came up. But you know what? They didn't stop. They didn't stop fighting. The people east of us didn't stop fighting just because it went west. And now it's going west again. So I feel like I can't stop fighting either. But I had a really interesting meeting yesterday. I've told you of the Norman mayor that we have, that we elected. And the Norman mayor is a guy who made the mistake of giving me his phone number. Well, he didn't give it to me. It was on the website. And I thought I was just calling his people, but it turns out his personal cell phone. So I have made a, something comes up and I'm just going to go right to the source, right? So I text the mayor. I am that constituent. I have a question, sir. I saw on the news that there were news. Yeah. Like, so he was at the protest yesterday.
Jamie again, block that number quick. Block it.
Oh God, here she comes. Run. Look away. Well, he was at the protest yesterday and he did a talk, which he's just a really cool dude. And afterwards, I went up to him and I said, I want to introduce you to my son. And he was like, I'm so glad you're bringing him out here. Like, how cool to see, have for him to see the inner workings of local government, how you can get involved. And he was like, it's just a super cool dude. He's actually the bouncer at a local bar. Like, that is what he did. And got elected as mayor. So you think, like, dude is... he's mayor. He's flush, right? You like, dude is like living. He was a bouncer at a bar. And I was like, hey, are you still at the pub? And he's like, yeah, I do 2 days a week.
Okay, that's
I'm sorry,
great.
The mayor of Norman is still Oklahoma. A bouncer at a bar. Yeah. So I was like, dude, he was like, you know, I make it in one night what I make for the entire month. And I was like, dang, dude, like, you're making that much as a bouncer? And he just volunteered the information of his salary, which I've since
which
gone
can't
online
be big with Norman, Oklahoma. I'm sure it's public.
Do you want to? It is public. So that's why I didn't feel like it was wrong for me to mention the conversation that we had. Do you want to guess what the Norman mayor makes a year?
Just a year. I'm going to guess 20.
So they have meetings twice a month. Every 2 weeks, they have a meeting. And he makes $50 a meeting.
That's his whole
pay? He makes $1,200 a year.
Why would you want the hassle of you calling me all the time as mayor?
I know. Now I'm like, I feel like, remember how I told you before Chad invited him for dinner? I'm like, that dude probably needs some food. Like, he might be hungry. We need to have him out. He's so young and adorable. He's got a little man bun and a little... I posted a picture of him on my personal Facebook page. So you can see Lucas with the mayor. Because I was like, can we get a picture
of you together? $100 a month?
$100 a month.
$1,200. Is there a college in your town?
That's not even enough to claim on your taxes.
No, it's not.
And oh, I'm like, God, why would you want this? Because anytime he speaks, people go online and they shred him or they support him. But a lot of shredding and stuff. And I just like, and he stands with the people. Like, I mean, he's there.
There's
and
a
he's
guy who's doing it for the noble reasons, not for the anything
exactly. else. Exactly. And then on Friday and Saturday, you can find him at the bar on campus being a bouncer. Like, it's crazy.
How do you make that much money being a bouncer? Do they get tips? They don't get tips.
I guess he gets tipped out. I didn't really dive into the tip out procedure of the bouncer.
If anybody in our audience is a bouncer, let us know how that works.
But I was like, the Norman Mayer is still a bouncer and he makes $1,200 a year. And he was like, he goes, well, it was really cool. Last week, I got to go to the opening of a bowling alley and they let me be the first person to bowl. I was like, oh, that's cool. And he was like, and 3 days ago, I got to present a giant check. Like one of the really big ones. I was like, dude, that's cool. So, and Chad was like, it must cost you more in gas money to make these appearances. He was like, yup.
Well, good for Norman Mayer. What's his first name?
I love him. So he's a really cool dude. Hold on. His name is Steven Tyler Holman.
This is for Steven right here. We're gonna give him butters.
Yay, Mayor Holman, you're the best.
All right, I want to remind everybody that International Podcast Day is coming up next Tuesday. We're just asking for a favor, post a review for our show or any podcast you listen to for that matter, but especially our show. Post it on your favorite podcast player. Most places have a way for you to post a review, either by stars or by leaving a comment. We hope that you would do both. And we, especially if you're a Spotify user, please post a review. We don't have a lot of Spotify reviews, if any, because not a lot of our listeners listen on Spotify. So, and that's true of all of our horse podcasts. Yet other podcasts are 50% Spotify, I guess.
That's because Spotify gives them money. Yeah. Nobody gives us money.
So, I mean, we don't have a lot of Spotify users, but if you do, please post a review. That'll help us out. Tell your friends at the barn about the show. Post on social media. Monday, we'll post graphics that you can actually use. We'll post them on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page that you can share them, or on the Auditor Facebook pages too, for all the different shows. So thank you for doing that. We really appreciate it. Let's hear from Kentucky Performance Products, and then we're going to go to one of our favorite people who we haven't had on in a long time. So Michael Richardson is going to join us out of Texas.
Is your horse suffering from respiratory problems like intermittent coughing, nasal discharge, seasonal allergies, poor performance, or difficulty breathing during exercise? Kentucky Performance Products has a new supplement, Airwise, that can help. It's like you can see all the horses in my barn when they write these commercials. Ragweed is insane right now for all of us. Formulated using a blend of high-quality potent antioxidants and micronutrients, Airwise is research-proven to help horses maintain healthy respiratory function. It has been shown to promote normal respiratory rates, enhance lung function, support a healthy inflammatory response in airways, and maintain immune health. To see if Airwise, available through veterinarians, is right for you, speak with your vet or visit kppusa.com.
Well, Jamie, returning right now is a guest that we haven't had on for probably 13 years, and I'm not sure why, and I feel bad about it, because he has the best radio voice, number one, that you're ever going to hear on this show, and he's going to show me up for sure, and he's just the nicest guy ever, Michael Richardson from Broken Arrow Ranch. Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. It is so good to hear your voice, sir, and just grateful to have the opportunity to visit with y'all.
Calm down, Jamie.
As a woman, it is good to hear your voice, my friend.
Calm down, Jamie. Calm down. Jamie came from radio, hearing that voice probably brings her flashbacks of the old days.
The old days.
I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this.
I love it.
Michael, so I feel like we have a whole new generation of listeners since you were on last, so let's catch everybody up. You're in a wheelchair because of a car accident. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, it was a Jeep accident. Yes, sir.
And You were swerving. Was it a deer?
Yep. Over a little rise in the road, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and a deer got stunned by my headlights and made that split second decision to swerve and miss it, and ended up rolling the Jeep end over end, was thrown out the door, and was crushed by it.
And you did die, didn't you? I mean, it was they resuscitated you at that point.
Correct. Yep. I remember, which I thought was a dream for the longest time, but them covering me up with a sheet and pronouncing me, dead on the scene, and they friends that I had in the Jeep with me, one in particular, he said, there's no way. And really was distraught, you know, for obvious reasons, seeing your friend, you know, pronounced dead. But so he talked him into going and checking me again, and I had some faint vital signs. And so we managed to get to a hospital and the care that I needed to keep my life rolling. So it's been great ever since. Well, it was great before that, but it's even better now.
And wasn't there a documentary about this, if I remember right?
No, we had a show
that's right. Okay.
On RFD TV and touched on it a little bit, but not a documentary of sorts. No. Yeah.
I'm throwing that into the world. Okay.
Very kind of you to say.
So Michael, you were a rider before the accident and after, for that matter, but
correct.
You've never gotten away from the horse thing. You've been involved in training ever since. And what have you been up to for the last 13 years?
Well, yes, on all those things that you mentioned. I was fortunate enough to grow up in Pony Club and fox hunting, and my mom and dad raised horses, and so I started them and competed in the venting discipline and dressage discipline, and then got into hunter jumpers, and then prior to getting hurt, I really was finding the passion of developing and bringing along horses, and that is still true to this day. So
you know, I forgot you were on the English side, because I have this picture in my mind of you being the cowboy with the cowboy hat on all the time and all of that. So I just totally forgot you were on the English side.
Well, I wore the cowboy hat back then with breeches and boots and the whole bit. So it was always, you know, if people are going to look, give them something to look at type deal, and still true now. But yes, I very much was immersed in the English discipline. But then again, towards closer to the time I got hurt, I was, you know, really, you know, using more Western tack, but it's really just tack, and starting horses. And so now I ride in primarily. A Western saddle with a back on it and so forth, but, still do the things I learned in the English disciplines as far as dressage and developing horses with the suppleness of the movements and so forth. So that's, you know, was a really, really positive foundation for me. And I have, you know, fallen back on that and, just developed it even further.
Do you know how happy it makes us to hear that you're still in the saddle?
Oh, well, thank you for that. I am, matter of fact, I'm going to get on again here. I've had a little brief hiatus due to injuries that were just accumulating. One, you know, with my tail with a sore on it, and then I blew both my shoulders out, and just, you know, wear and tear and falls, and I have gotten smarter as I've gone along, and the shoulders are as good as they're going to be. And so we're just about ready to get back in the saddle again and start logging hours horseback. So that'll be great.
You have the shoulders in common with Jamie. She's now had surgery on both, right, Jamie?
Well, I feel like he wins, so I don't even feel like it needs to bring me up.
Well, you know, it's all relative. I blew both out of the four in my left shoulder, tore and completely retracted three of the tendons, and then in my right shoulder two. And I remember going in and talking to a shoulder reconstructive surgeon, and he said, well, they're pretty bad, but if I fix you, you're probably going to blow them out in less than a year. He says, so I would recommend, if you can handle the pain and can get used to that, and just kind of keep doing what you can do. And I shook his hand and said, thank you. And that's what we've been doing. So we build up the strength, and I still have full range of motion and So we're still rolling, and it's better than ever.
Well, that's good to hear. And you know, how's the lovely Tiffany?
Meaner than ever. and I'm fortunate that I'm able to still hang around, so that's really good. She's doing great. She works at a men's maximum security prison as a nurse. So imagine that. I mean, it really suits her. because of her personality and being meaner than a snake, which you know, I'm joking, but she's got that personality.
She's had
anyway
to put up with you all these years. I mean, there's that.
Well, you know, I would hope that I've sweetened her, but I don't know. I think I just agitate her.
Well, she is a nurse at a maximum security prison. I mean, there has to be some toughness there, I would think.
Oh man, yeah, but I'm really happy for her because she's coming back into the fold and doing a lot of great things with the teaching. And it's really beautiful to see how she's kind of thriving again with her love and her passion with the horses. And
I'm trying to remember, was she around before the accident or was Tiff, did you meet her after?
No, it was after.
Okay.
No, she, yep.
I couldn't remember which the order of events was. So you have the new thing called, that I noticed on your Facebook page, called Sharpen Your Edge. Tell us about that.
Yes, we started to do a lot of online coaching via Zoom, which I never would have thought I would ever do. But it has really been incredibly gratifying. So I had a friend of mine that is a relational neuroscience therapist, pardon me. And she talked me into it. And she and I have partnered up on a lot of things. And she's teaching me the nervous system and putting the science, the words really with the science behind what, you know, we do. And that's been great. So the opportunity, we really got immersed in the barrel discipline. I didn't set out to do that, but there's a need. And so we do a lot with barrel horses. And so Sharpen the Edge came about with our business partner in Georgia. Her name is Tessa, and she's a barrel racer. And she kind of, we met her, oh, geez, I don't even know how long ago now. And we hit it off and become great friends. And she's, we help her with her barrel horses. And it really just started that way. And now it's turned into, the Sharpen Your Edge, where T's really doing the instructing as far as the under saddle part, and I help her, and then we carry it over to the Liberty work and the round pen. And that has really been great to get horses regulated and develop them where they can learn how to handle stress and develop and shape their nervous system, and then carry that over into the discipline. And it's really been incredible to see how these horses really take this and start to own it. So that's really where the edge came into being. And we're doing that and developing that even to a greater extent as we speak, and hoping to take that and to ultimately do another show comparable to the Gift of the Horse that we did 13 years ago. So we're excited about things that we're doing and things that are coming. And, God has really blessed us to have the opportunity to still be doing it after all these many, many years.
You were doing clinics too. Are you still doing that?
Yep. Yep. Yep, we're getting ramped back up to doing clinics again. Like I said earlier, I really had to take a hiatus to heal up because I was just really agitating my
shoulders. And I know travel's a hassle too. Travel's a hassle for everybody.
Oh, everybody. Yeah, it really is. And again, getting back to the the comment I made earlier about the Zoom, you know, we can reach out to people and do a lot via Zoom that we didn't do back then, for sure to this degree. And so the clinics that we are working on doing again, we're going to be able to maximize the opportunities because of all of the other advantages, you know, social media and all these things that, again, I never thought I would do much with, but, and I still don't do a whole lot with, but I do more so than I did. So it's great. So yes, we're still, working on some clinics, for next year, and still have our affiliation with Prina after 26 years. So that in and of itself is a godsend. So it's just really been incredible. I'm just really grateful.
Well, I can say it's broken our ranch. If you want to find Michael, and if you're interested in virtual coaching, or you're a barrel racer and want to pursue that angle, and also Michael Richardson Horsemanship on Facebook. I kind of, speaking of clinics, I was trying to remember, we met in person. Was it, it must have been at an equine affair or something. I don't remember.
Well, we met out in Harrisburg.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, out there. Right.
Well, that was probably one of the first equine affairs at Harrisburg or whatever it was.
I think it may have been. Yes, sir.
God, that's a long time ago. Well, Michael, it's been so good catching up with you, and we're so happy that you're doing so well and you sound good. Please give our best to Tiffany, too.
I sure will, and you the same with your family, and I'm just grateful to, and hopefully we won't go 13 years again.
Yeah, exactly. No, we'll make sure of that.
Yeah, we need to stay in touch. Yes, sir.
We'll make sure of that, and hopefully I see you at an event here sometime soon.
I can't wait.
It's brokenourranch.com is where you can find Michael, or just look him up on Facebook, Michael Richardson Horsemanship. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Thanks, Michael.
I'll call you later because I have to keep hearing this.
Yeah, yes, please do. Anytime. I love it.
Bye, Michael.
Y'all take care. Have a blessed day.
As horse owners, we have an unlimited supply of love for our animals, but we tend to underestimate the cost of their care or their purchase or their sale, whatever. Routine and unexpected expenses can quickly add up, making it hard to keep pace. Wouldn't it feel great to always be prepared with a budget-friendly way to manage these costs? The Care Credit Health and Animal Care Credit Card can give you that financial peace of mind. With flexible financing from Care Credit, you can get the care your horse needs and then pay over time in easy monthly payments. You can use Care Credit at the more than 25,000 veterinary hospitals that accept the card, and use it to pay for everything from diagnostics and surgery to wellness exams and routine care. Care Credit, it's your card for a lifetime of care, subject to credit approval. To learn more and apply, visit carecredit.com/vetmed.
As horse owners, we spend a lot of time on the road. Let U.S. Rider help keep you covered. Our equestrian motor plan offers fast, reliable, nationwide service from our highly trained roadside assistance team. 24/7 coverage for both you and your horse. Membership includes horse trailer servicing, towing, flat tire repair, even on dual wheels, battery assistance, and lockout service on any vehicle in your plan. We also have your equine companions covered with referrals for emergency vet services, farrier referrals, and emergency stabling assistance. Get peace of mind on the road for you and your horse. Join U.S. Rider today.
Jamie, I saw this article on Horse and Hound, and we have to review it. It was the world's most expensive horses. And the reason they wrote this article at this time was one of the most expensive jumping foals ever just sold at auction.
It's not a jumping foal. It can't be because they can't jump when their foals
are
not
healthy. Well, its parents are jumpers. It comes from jumping bloodlines on both sides. And actually, this is the cutest. If you go to the article there, I put the link. If you go, this is the cutest spotted foal you've ever seen. I mean, this foal is spotted from front to back, top to bottom. This is
it a Knobstripper?
No, the stallion was an Appaloosa jumper, which you don't hear a lot. But what a cute baby. And apparently mama was It's a breed. I can't even say the name of it. So it's a warm blood breed of some kind. But this just sold, this baby, this foal just sold for 402,000 euros at auction. And I mean, it's a foal.
It looks like a Dalmatian.
It does, doesn't it? It's incredible looking. You would get attention in the jumping ring with that thing. That's for sure. But so 400,000 euro, which is what, about $500,000 probably. So yeah, there you go. It's very cute, but whew, that's a lot of money spent on a foal.
Half Appaloosa?
Yes. It was a jumping stallion, though, apparently. So, apparently mom and dad both have done the meter 60 Grand Prix. So both mom and dad are, you know, big jumpers. And they've bred seven horses that have competed from a meter 50 to a meter 60. So their record for breeding good horses is good. So I think that's why this foal went so high. But here's some of the others. The most expensive flat racehorse was, how do you say it?
Ooh, I know this one.
Yeah.
Is that the green monkey?
Pegasus. What was it?
Oh, Fusaichi Pegasus.
Yeah, sold for $70 million in the year 2000 after winning the Kentucky Derby, though his stud fee later dropped significantly.
Yeah, he did not
do
he
well.
Did
not $70 million dollars worth.
$70 million, no.
You got to take your cursor off the...
Oh,
I think the most expensive dressage horse. You probably know this one. Totalist.
Oh, it's got to be Totalist. Yeah,
Totalist. Sold for 11 million euro to a German trainer after Edward Gall achieved the record-breaking scores and all of that. But then he was marred by injuries before he died in 2020. So he, again, after he sold for all that money, didn't do as well. And remember, there was all of that saying Edward was the one that brought this horse on, you know, it didn't do as well without Edward in the saddle.
The whole thing just makes my stomach hurt. I remember when it was happening and you're just like, ugh, it's just ick. There was some ick in there.
So the most expensive national hunt horse, which I think is a British thing, sold at auction. Caldwell Potter set a world record in 2024, fetching 740,000 euros at public auction, and it's currently in training. So we don't have the results of that one yet. The most expensive draft horse was a Belgian stallion. It's Captain Jim, sold at a record $112,000 in 2003. And that's really low compared to other horses, but for a draft horse, they don't set huge million-dollar records. The most expensive jumping foal we've just had, and the most expensive failure, that you got right. That was the green monkey. Fetched $16 million at auction in 2006, based on his lineage, was supposed to do really well. He raced three times and then was retired to stud. Now, if he's really that bad, why did we retire him to stud?
Because his lines, his bloodlines were ridiculous and he just had no desire to race.
I wonder what his babies have done then since then. That makes me curious. I'm going to look that up over the weekend.
Well, let's go to Equibase and check it
out.
Right.
you check that out. We'll give you a report on that on Monday, everybody. We'll find out how the green monkey did as a stud, if he did any better than racing, because he didn't do very well racing after a $16 million sale. But there you go. There's some of the highest priced horses. You know, I also have, real quick, this won't take long, I have the 10 most expensive dog breeds in the world. Do you have any guesses?
What are those weird little French bulldogs?
Let's see here. French bulldog is number one on the list of the most expensive dog breeds. Thousands of dollars to buy a French bulldog. Any other guesses? Most of them are small. I will say that most of them are small dogs.
Like some sort of Lhasa Apso?
Well, let me go down from 10. Italian Greyhounds, number 10. They can get expensive because we looked at actually getting one and we couldn't afford it. Samoyed? I don't know that one. It's a Siberian.
Samoyed, it's the white fluffy
thing. Yes, the fluffy thing, yeah. English Bulldog, a Cavapoo, which is a crossbreed between a poodle and a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Yep.
Bernese Mountain Dog, which are really cool looking dogs, I got to say. A Chow Chow. I'm kind of surprised that Chow Chow is on the list, but I guess they're expensive. A miniature Dachshund. So there are on number three or four on the list, a cockapoo, a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, and then the French Bulldog. We knew somebody that had King Charles Spaniels, actually, and they were cool dogs.
They were made popular, I think. I mean, they're just delightful little squishy couch potatoes.
That describes them.
But they had them in Sex and the City.
Oh, is that right? That's why they became popular.
Charlotte. Charlotte had them in Sex and the City. And then people were like, oh, my God, that's the cutest thing ever. And they're like, I mean, back then they were $1,500. They're probably $5,000 now because every puppy seems to be $1,500. So then that one, and they do say, like, I've seen interviews with vets and they're like, what breed of dog are you most thankful for? And the top two breeds of dogs that vets are most thankful for are the French Bulldog and the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, because they keep them in business.
They bought their boat. Their boat was bought with those two.
Okay, so I'm looking at the green monkey. He was by Forestry out of Magical Masquerade, who was by Unbridled. Okay, leading progeny is Stoney's monkey. That can't be right. She earned $4,400? No.
That can't be right.
But he sold as a yearling for $425,000, and then he sold as a two-year-old for $16 million. He started three times, came in third once. That's it. Trained by Todd Pletcher, written by Gary Gomez, and
Todd
bless
is like,
his
out of
heart,
my barn.
All these owners, John Smith, Derek, Michael Tabor, I don't know who these people are. Anyway, terrible investment. I'm so sorry, the guys.
And the babies
sucks.
Haven't done anything.
Well, I just clicked on leading progeny on Equibase. You know,
that
we have listeners that
$400 was a leader.
All I see is Stoney's. It's the only progeny that they have listed.
That's bad.
That's 2025. Maybe let's try 2024. Let's go with 2020. Okay. It looks like Stoney's monkey is kind of leading every year. Wait, Lightning Monkey made 18,000.
Oh, there we go.
Oof.
This was a really bad investment.
I got to click on each one by year. Oh, wait, Bellamy Dancer made 66,000. I don't think any of that is paying for the stud fee. I wonder.
On that note,
pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
I feel like this is a good transition from losing investments to really bad ads. Bad ads is the time of the week when listeners submit ads from either Craigslist or Facebook or someplace like that, and we have a little bit of fun with them, and we give away prizes every month, which we'll do at the end of next week. We have an Abeta fridge saddle bag worth $96. This is a polyester saddle bag with large pockets and a waterproof liner so that you can put your beer and your ice in there and carry it along on your trail ride. You know, some of those trail rides get really long. And has zipper pockets for your cell phone and your snacks and things like that. So we're going to give away that at the end of next week. And they're brought to you by horseloverswithaz.com. Over 120,000 products for your barn, your horse, and you. Check them out at horseloverswithaz.com. Okay, so bad ads. We have a bunch of people who submitted. You want to go over those?
Remember, we read these ads as they're written. We did not do this to these ads, but if you are not included in it, like Michelle, Amanda, Nicole, Jessica, Savannah, and Patty, all of you guys are also still in the drawing. It's just, you know, they got cut for time. So you read the first one. Kaylee sent this one in.
All right. Kaylee sent, it's Lloyd and Area Livestock Pets and Poultry.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. One weather extraordinaire, and it's W-E-T-H-E-R.
I think that's a kind of goat.
Oh, yeah. No, maybe a sheep. There's a sheep in the picture. Okay. Meet Peter. Oh, and there's a little sheep emoji. Our four-legged chaos gremlin with a mustache of wisdom and an attitude of a grumpy old cowboy. Halter broke, walks better than most toddlers. Comes when called, sometimes quicker than dogs. Wears a saddle and happily entertains kids. Yes, he's basically a miniature rodeo ride with a built-in wool cushioning. He doesn't even need a saddle pad. Full of personality, like too much personality. Disclaimer, Peter is a gentleman with the ladies, but has strong opinions about men. Let's just say he prefers them at a safe distance. Sadly, Peter is looking for a new postal code because we've got a new ram moving in, and apparently the two divas can't share a stage. If you're looking for a quirky, kid-friendly, slightly dramatic, highly entertaining pasture pal, Peter's your guy. DM for details before Peter writes his own Craigslist ad. So there you go. You need a sheep. You've never had a sheep.
I actually would probably love a sheep, but the husband is nixing any small farm animals.
Green Acres is out the window now. No pigs, yeah, no sheep.
It's not going to happen. No. Okay, Faye sent the next one in, and this is from Quality Horses in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia,
so
and
many
Virginia.
From this page.
Yeah, we really do. Okay, 5-year 14.2/14.3 Appy/Paint Cross. Dam is said to be an accomplished barrel mare. Said to be.
We're not sure.
The people who had her from Wheeland till a month ago let this mare get away with everything. She is broke, but ain't been ridden in a couple years. Saddled up the other day, but didn't ride her. Takes encouragement to load. No lameness or sickness. I'm motivated to move her. So she's the worst.
Really selling it there. If you want this horse that we can't do anything with, but you know what? You'll do fine. You'll be fine. You buy it and do something with it. Rebecca sent this one in and she had a note. Please find attached a really bad or possibly brilliant ad from an Australian stock horse Facebook page. I would have read it myself, but your 2-minute recording limit had me rattling it off like an auctioneer desperate to flog the last lot before the bar opened. Add in my Aussie accent and your poor listeners wouldn't have stood a chance. I practiced it multiple times, but honestly, it had about as much of a hope and success as me tackling the cross country at the Maryland 5-star. So I'm basically leaving it in the far more capable hands of you and Glenn, both blessedly free of such piddling 2-minute restrictions.
Oh, you only have 2 minutes.
The voicemail only allows 2 minutes.
You can record it into the voice memo of your phone and just email it to Jennifer at horseradio.com.
Or you can do 2 separate voicemails and I'll put them together. It's fine. We'll make it work. Matter of fact, Rebecca, we want you to do that. Either record it into the voice memo of your phone or do 2 separate voicemails because I'd rather you read this ad because we want to hear your lovely accent.
Okay, let's skip this one then and let her read it because I want her accent
show. I do too.
Okay, well, let's just skip down to the next one. Then Stephanie sent this one in, and this is from the Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois Horses Facebook page, because there's every grouping of states has a horse-selling Facebook page. It's amazing. No way. We're actually getting this as a first sentence? Okay. Unusually kind 2-year-old saddlebred. Nobody ever says their horse for sale is kind. They're like, he's a dork. Yeah,
like the ad we've already read.
Yep. He is a good size, cold, and big boned. He's lived most of his life outside with a herd and gets along fine with everyone, broke to ride and drive, and you can get on him with a mounting block.
Wait a minute, he's 2-year old and broke to ride and drive. I'm having doubts for some reason.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I'm just like, you know what? Like, somebody's actually selling their horse that they like? Weird. That's not normal.
Yeah, no price on that one either. So we don't know a price on that one. Allison sent this one in. Oh, she says, this is a pretty hilarious trailer. My favorite. Okay, yeah. This is Oklahoma Horse Connection.
Oh, so proud.
Needs lights. Pulls good and straight. New top this year. Would like to swap on a Yuzin horse or something ready for a job. Is using USIN a thing in Oklahoma?
That's what, yes, they say you just need a good using horse. All needs good using horse. That's what Craigslist Carl is, just a good using horse.
Is that in the dictionary, USIN, using?
I've never heard it minus the G. It's just called a using horse. Okay. You just use it.
All right. So the one thing it says in this ad is new top this year. Jamie, tell us what kind of top this trailer has.
Yeah, there is no top. There's no top on this trailer. It's a convertible.
It's a long convertible. Usually these convertibles are 2-horse. This is a 4-horse convertible.
That is a giraffe hauler. You can haul giraffes.
Yes, you could haul giraffes in this quite comfortably. Yeah, I don't know about this trailer. It does have air in the tires. I'll give them that. Now, it looks like it was meant to have 4 tires and 2 axles, but they took the front axle off, and it only has one axle and 2 tires.
So I would like for you to say what city this is in.
Durant?
No. It's Durant.
Durant? Durant, Oklahoma. They using their horses over in Durant, Oklahoma.
Need to get using horse, Glenn.
I'm going to submit that to Webster's next year. Using.
Just get a good using horse. Oh, now, this is a using horse if I've ever seen one. Okay, Miriam sent this one in.
Oh, my God.
What?
Is that picture is this AI?
Monster. Okay. Offered up for your consideration, nice dragon gelding that could do just about anything once you train him and get him broke. It takes a bit of doing to get on him, and once you're seated, there is a 62% chance you won't stay put for long. He'll go down the trails and tracks and never settle out. Warn your quarter horse riding friends to avoid being blacklisted on the local trail riders page.
They're showing it.
And bring a parachute for when he swipes right as you dismount at the end of a 4-hour ride. But put his fancy mask on, blinders, and he knows very well what a good day's work is. And he's up for it every day. My husband wants a mare just like him. So if you have an unhinged Belgian mare, we're willing to trade. 17. This is a ginormous Belgian draft horse.
17.3 hands, almost 18 hands. It looks bigger than that. Or this guy's really short. So it's a picture of a guy at the front of the horse, like putting his bridle on. And this horse is, his withers are taller than this dude. It's a big draft horse.
And by the way, if you look, it doesn't say 17.3. It says 173 hands.
Could be. I mean, it could be that too. So if this 18-hand horse drops out from under you, you have a long way to go to hit the ground.
You got a long way down.
He is cute, though. He kind of looks like he has an attitude, though. God, those feet. Amanda sent this one in. ISO barrel horse ads. Okay, well, we know what the page is about. ISO fugly 1D barrel horse that wins and offends. ISO a horse so visually upsetting, I apologize when I unload it, but not when we take the check. I'm thinking we did this one last week.
I've seen this one before.
Yeah, we did this before. Yeah, we did. Let me cut it.
But, oh.
I think it was last week, too. Okay, let me, all right, we'll just go to the next one.
I do have one in my phone I've been saving, too. Okay. So.
Why don't I do the next one? Okay. I don't even know who submitted it. It's a question mark. Okay, so 3, 2, 1. I'm not sure who submitted. Anonymous submitted the next one. It's Barnyard Starter Package. This must be from Craigslist. Get your backyard farmer groove on with our new Barnyard Starter Package. Package includes Dumplin' the Mini for Hallmark vibes, Cornbread the Donkey for instant historical context, Goat 1, Goat 2, Goat 3, and Goat 4 for their reels, and YouTube potential as saddle because you're farmers. AI wrote this. $3,000 for the starter package. Level up with the deluxe starter package by adding 1 round bale of hay for just $75. Delivery not included. And it is a picture of a little black mini, a donkey, and a bunch of goats. So that's your starter package. It's cute, though.
Cool.
Just what everybody wants is a starter package. That combination.
I found this one on Facebook, and I thought I should share it. It's quite long, so I'll try to edit it as I go. But this is from the, I mean, this has got to be a gold mine. We should all start following this page. I don't follow it. It just popped up. It's called Bucking Horses for Sale. Okay. Meet Cuervo.
Well, it does lower your expectations.
Right? Meet Cuervo. Much like Jose Cuervo, you never know if your day with him is going to be amazing or if you'll wake up the next morning sore and confused. I do not care how much you offer. If you cannot halter him and lead him, you will not purchase him. He is a once-in-a-lifetime horse for a trainer with patience, strong bones, kindness, and did I mention patience? If you're still with me after all that, here is the basic info. I purchased him from a kill pen last September after seeing a video. He didn't run away, and it's not often you find his size with such a kind and curious eye. And he's branded, so I started digging up info. He is, in fact, a gelded retired buckskin horse. Retired buckin' horse. He was born in 2019 from saddle bronc legend Bud Longbreaks Bucking Herd. That's a cowboy name right there, Bud Longbreaks. His mama was Moonlight, and his daddy is 923 John Wick.
A bucking horse named John Wick. You got to give him that. That's pretty good.
You got to love that. I do not know why he was retired. My best guess is because he likes to bite in the chute. With a little grain and a quick hand, you can bridle him. He'll lead around, he'll stand tight, he'll approach people he trusts, and he respects fences of all types. He is by no means broke to ride or even lead outside of a fenced area.
Or get any body part near, apparently. It's like,
why is he special? He's curious, watching and paying attention. Could be alpha, but doesn't want to be. Nothing spooks him. He moves slower and likes children, has had cows, bottle calves, dogs, cats, chickens in the pen with him, and none faze him at all. He watches his step around people and animals, does not overstep personal space. Apparently, he'd just run away from
him. Except for biting him, the biting him part.
That's true. That's terrible. Come meet him and you'll understand. Okay, I guess we just got to go meet him and we'll understand. You're welcome to come and do a session with him here to get to know him even. I'll work with you to make sure he's a good fit. He just has that calm but smart personality that everybody wants, and you can't teach that. Can you teach him not to bite and buck and not to run?
I mean, you're not going to ride him, so isn't he a pasture pet at this point?
I mean... I'm interested.
You add him to the starter package above, and you've got yourself the perfect combination.
Oh, you got a mini, a horse, a donkey, and a goat.
And goats. It's perfect.
Let's all take him.
Add a bucking horse to the starter package, and you're good to go. Danielle sent this one in. Meet Harry.
Oh, so cute.
Harry Spotter. Harry leads and is easy to catch. He loads great into our minivan. By the way, that's coming up. We're going to be talking about a minivan. So your horse, cattle, goat, Craigslist, fine trailer shouldn't be any trouble for this four-legged wizard. Harry is very much a people person. He calls for food when he sees you. At a mere 42 inches, he disappears easily into the brush frequently. But then he races out for a victory lap, hop, buck. All is good. Yeah, he races out there, and I guarantee you Jennifer's horse James would be in the next county.
Oh my God, I was just thinking that. Like he'll just hide in the bushes and pop
jump out.
Like,
oh my God. James and Nigel would be in the next county. The only reason Harry is leaving our home is that he can't be trusted with goats. And the goats were here first. Don't dwaddle. Don't dwaddle or drag your feet asking permission to bring a wizarding donkey home. Clean out the back of the van and get going. I thought it was a mini. It's a donkey. It's a mini donkey, and it's cute as the Dickens.
It's so cute.
It is cute. How much?
I think he would be best friends with Butters.
I love the name Harry Spotter. Harry Spotter and Butters. There's a perfect combination.
I love it.
All right. Well, thank you for submitting your ads this week to Really Bad Ads. We appreciate it. Send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. If you have some, we'll give away the prize next week. And have a terrific weekend. Jamie, you have a great time. You have a great time in Hershey, Pennsylvania, one of our favorite places on earth. So,
oh my gosh, Lucas has, he decided he wants to be the lead singer of 21 Pilots. His name is Tyler. I know so much now for Halloween. So we've been collecting the costume, like going to...
It's gonna wear it.
I went to Ross, and then we went to Goodwill. We collected like all these different pieces, and yes, he is wearing it the concert, which apparently everybody dresses like them at the concert anyway. It's like a huge cult thing. So he will be one of the many.
He'll be a minion.
But I'm just so excited for him. He's just so excited to do this, and so I'm excited to. Glenn, remember, like we usually go to Dallas to go see this concert. Well, I bought Chad and Lucas tickets to see them twice already in Dallas. So they've gone to Dallas. Well, the scalpers bought up all the tickets in Dallas, and it was $1,500 a ticket. And if you recall, I have not been to any of these concerts before. And Lucas this time was like, "Mom, do you think you could come with us this time too?" And I was like,
and you get to go to Hershey too.
Yes, I
that's
was
better
like,
than
I was
Dallas.
Like, well, I was like, dude, let me tell you a little something. The fact that you invited your mama, you going in style, man. Like, you have made the right decision. So I've got us really good seats. And the tickets for all three of us is cheaper than one ticket in Dallas. Plus, we fly for free, and we're using Marriott Bonvoy points for the hotel. So it's basically a free vacation.
Now, I did send you by Facebook which roller coaster you're not to get on, because with your shoulders, you should not ride that roller coaster. I sent it to you on Facebook. So
I saw that. And you know what my husband's response to you was? Because you said, don't get on this because it'll jar your neck.
They can do it. You can't do it.
Well, I showed it to Chad.
Yeah.
And he looked at it. He looked at your comment, and he looked at the roller coaster, and he goes, "Man, Glenn never made it as a fighter pilot." And I was like, for many reasons, that's probably true.
I'm just trying to keep his wife in one piece. All right, auditors, hang on. We have a special guest joining us, one of our auditors who bought something we're going to talk about.
Spader Gels.
Congratulations. You made it through another post show. Thank you for all your support.
Oh.
Now, go ride your horse.
Let's try this one. See, that's what you get if you hang around for the post show. This is what you get.
It's the fighter pilot in you.
I know. There it is. Disturbed.